We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the Mishnah, Ein Bur Yirei Chet. Remember, we discussed the person who doesn't have the most basic etiquette. He's not going to be a sinful, God-fearing person, fearful of sin. A person can be fearful of sin if he's an Am Haaretz, if he's at least got the basics of being a member of society, but he will not be a chassid, he will not be pious. V'lo abayishan lamed. The next point is so important. Someone who's too embarrassed won't learn any. I don't know about anything, but he won't learn. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah, Midat Abushat Hitova Bechol Inyan. The trait of being embarrassed is really a good trait in all matters, Levad Balimud, except for learning. It's good if a person is, he gets embarrassed and he's a humble person. Kinyan Shneema, Vadabra Ve'edotecha Neged Melachim. As the verse says, King David says, I spoke about your Torah next to kings and I wasn't embarrassed. That's an important pasuk in its own right. Very often there are conversations going on and people are embarrassed to talk Torah. I was at a meeting yesterday where a few businessmen and someone said, I got a joke to tell you. And I had a feeling it wasn't going to be the cleanest in the world. So I said, you know, I saw the most amazing tshuva I want to share with you guys. This was written by a rabbi from the country you came from. And the guy who had the joke to say turned to me and said, you want to tell us davar acher? You want to tell us something else? I said, no, I'm sorry. What I'm telling you is the thing. What you want to say is davar acher. In Hebrew, the term davar acher, in ancient Hebrew, is a reference to either a pig, or Christianity, or leprosy. So I said, you know, davar acher is not a term we ever use about Torah. Torah is not something else. Torah is the thing. You want to talk about something else? That's davar acher. So he went ahead and said his joke anyways. Back to our...
was it a color joke? On the color, was it clean one?
I didn't blush. Torah would have been better, right? Sometimes it's important not to be embarrassed. That's what David HaMelech says. When it comes to talking Torah, you shouldn't be embarrassed. V'adabra ve'edotecha neged melachim. David HaMelech says, even if there were kings present, I spoke Torah ve'lo ivosh, I wasn't embarrassed. Now, she'David alav ha'shalom bevachom ibn Shaul, David, when he was running away from Saul, uvomdo lifnei malchei umot ha'olam. So Rabbeinu Yonah takes the simple interpretation here. David had to encounter kings of many nations as he was on the run. Lo haya mitbayesh midaber b'torah v'mitzvot. He wasn't embarrassed to stand for his Torah and mitzvot and talk about them. Gam ki yatlu bo maligim b'dvaro. Even though people would make fun of him. Oh, you believe in that? And he'd say, yeah, that's what I believe in. Because in learning Torah, shame is not a good thing. A person who has shame, that's a very good thing in other areas of life. But learning Torah, you got to be able to stand up and say, no, this is what I stand for, and I do want to understand. So the first point he says seems to be a little different than what the Mishnah says. He's saying to stand up for Torah. The next point is really what the Mishnah seems to say. V'gam en latalmid lomar. So the student, you want to learn Torah, you can't be too embarrassed and you won't ask any questions. The student shouldn't say, Tipesh kamoni, someone who's as dumb as me, Ech eshal davar lifnei chacham gadol b'torah. How can I ask something to someone who's so big in Torah? Umfulpal bechokhma, someone who's so sharp in his wisdom. Nodat v'lo tvunali, I don't know anything, I don't understand anything. V'imko yeh mishpato kol hayamim, chokhma elav, ma'ayin tavov. That's the way he's going to behave. So how's he ever going to learn anything? If a person's always scared that by asking a question he's going to reveal what he doesn't know, so how will he ever learn? It's very interesting. I had a few occasions that I was kicked out of Rav Halberstam's room. I would go and ask him questions. I was kicked out of a lot of places, right? So I once came to him and I asked him about how we understand the... how far Jerusalem extends to read the Megillah on the 15th or the 14th. So he kicked me out of the room. That's nonsense. Stop bugging me. Later on, I discovered that Rav Tikushinsky, who was a rabbi over here, who wrote many important works, also had that question. So first, you know, what shocked me in all these cases was that the other students standing there would all smirk as I was being kicked out of the room. They were like, yeah, what does he know? And this happened numerous times on a few things. I asked them once about wiping down a tablecloth, what we just learned on Shabbos. So I said, how do you know that you're allowed to wipe down a plastic tablecloth? I know the logic. I know that plastic doesn't absorb. But if you look closely at the halacha, it's not so clear that plastic isn't similar to leather in this area, where Chazal didn't want you wiping down leather, rabbinically. So again, he said, no, no problem. And I saw smirks all around the room, like, ah, what does he know? Later on, I discovered Rav Moshe asked the same question. Rav Moshe Feinstein also says, I don't know if plastic is the same as leather or not. Does it fall under that rabbinic prohibition? And this happened to me numerous times. And now, you can easily lose the desire to ask when everyone around is laughing at you. Like, how come you don't know the answer to this? But you shouldn't. That's what the Mishnah says. This is where shame is not a good thing. I once asked him a question, and he gave me an answer, and I said, okay, what's the source for that? And I said it more respectfully. So the head student who was there kicked me out of the room. He said, leave. I said, why? He said, the rabbi told you the answer. That's all you need to know. I said, no, I want to know the source for it. So later on, I quoted this to one of my teachers in the United States. And he said, you know, that's called in halacha, you don't know anything. When you don't know the reasoning behind a halacha, you know, what that student did to you. It could be he was the one in charge of the room and, you know, he was in charge of everyone having their set slot and everything. But at the end of the day, you could never rule on that question now because you never understood the reasoning behind it. So very often we're scared to stand our ground and say, I don't understand. You guys know the story, the student who learned 400 times kept saying, I don't know, I don't know. And the Rebbe teaches them again and again. And every day, the student needed 400 reviews. But you know what? It takes guts to say, I don't understand. You guys know how many times my teacher said to me, you got it? And I said, no. You feel stupid. But that way you end up knowing something. You got to be able to say, no, I didn't understand. I'm sorry. No, I didn't.
It takes a certain amount of self, you know, worth, security to be able to do that. Because many people, if they really feel stupid, will be too embarrassed.
So that's what he's telling you.
Nope.
That's what the Mishnah is telling you. No, you can't learn. You're not going to know if you don't say, I didn't understand that. There were many times I was in the learning by teachers and they'd say something and I'd say, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. Could the Rav please repeat it? Could the Rav please explain it to me better? And then they'd go a second time and I'd say, sorry, I still don't understand. It's important. You're not going to learn if you don't do that. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Lo abayshan lamed, and Rabbeinu Yonah spells it out. That sometimes a student actually feels stupid. You say, you know, I'm stupid. How come, you know, I'm going to ask this? Okay. You're not going to learn if you don't. Bezeo shamu chazal balei musar b'sefer mivchar ha'pninim. And that's what the sages wrote in the work, mivchar ha'pninim. She'al she'elat hashotim. Ask the questions of fools. If you feel stupid by asking, that's okay. You should still ask. Ask the questions of fools. That's the formula. The last line is also very interesting. Vishmo shmirat handivim. And watch. Now here, this can be interpreted in a few ways. I'll interpret it literally, and then we'll see his explanation. And watch the watching of... he translates Nedivim as philanthropists. Ratzal omar, meaning, Kasher Nedivim lo yifazru mamonam, velo yatzrutu, a philanthropist doesn't waste his money. He doesn't squander it, he doesn't throw it around, but he's not too miserly with his money either. Ach notnim oto limkomot haruyim, but they give it to the places that are worthy, bechevetz uvratzon, with goodwill. If this place is worthy, they'll give to it. Now, people sometimes think a philanthropist just writes out checks all over. It's not that way. They're careful. That's why they have money. And then they use it where they believe it's worth investing. Kasher bi'anu lemale, as we explained earlier. Ken ha'chokhma. The same is true with wisdom. Yedaber ba'im anashim ha'ruyim uve'et ha'ru'i. He says, wisdom has to be spoken at the right time and with the right people. Achloim kol adam. Don't try talking to everyone. Some people, they're not there to have this kind of conversation. Don't say it at a time when you know people don't want to listen. There's a time you know they don't want to hear, that's not the time to talk. The value of what you're saying does not merit its being said when the audience doesn't want to hear it. And you'll find yourselves in these situations. I'll tell you a very interesting story. When they asked us if we were interested in the position of the rabbinate in Kochav Yaakov, so we weren't sure at all that this should even be considered. So that's why I'm just introducing this to tell you it was easier to stand up this test than it might sound. And they invited us for a Shabbos, and they told me, we want you to speak Friday night, we want you to speak Shabbos day. I asked them, okay, what time is the speech supposed to end? So they told me what time davening Ma'ariv was supposed to start. Kabbal Shabbos ends, you speak for as long as you have left, and then you're supposed to have 20 minutes for your speech. So I prepared a 20-minute speech, fine. And then I knew what time the evening prayer was supposed to start. The guy who davened Kabbal Shabbos decided he's doing Karlbach. So, 5 minutes at 1 minute. Now, I get up there to talk. No one's telling me what I'm supposed to do, right? That the community theoretically came to check out this new rabbi, right? I have 2 minutes basically to talk until my deadline. So I got up there and I said, look, I know everyone's in a rush to get to their houses for the meal. And I think that one of the important things in life is to end on time. We had a beautiful Kabbal Shabbos. So I'm going to say a quick Dvar Torah and welcome to be continued tomorrow. You know, we have tomorrow to talk also. I was told that that was the best speech I ever gave. So I'm saying that's a...
Is that a good thing?
Right, that's a good question, right? I said after that speech, if they take me, it's a bad sign, right? That means they want someone who's going to keep it short. Okay, but I'm saying that's the idea here. You know, don't talk if people don't want to listen. If they're pressured to go home, you get up there, you see the looks on their faces. They want to be back, you know, they want to be home on time. They want to have their meals. It's very nice. You prepared a 20-minute speech. You'll have this in life. Where they'll tell you, no, go up there and talk. And you know the crowd doesn't want it. So keep it short. You know you know what they say about a short speech. Those who like it are happy. And those who don't like it are happy it's short. So you won either way. Back to the Rabbeinu Yonah. Ach lo im kol adam velo bizman sheyodea shein dvaram nishmain, right? That we just read. Nimtzet omer sheyesh lein nishol kol sheilav lo itpayesh kedei shilmad advarim. So our bottom line, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, is that any question is valid. You have a question, ask it. Don't be embarrassed. You got to be comfortable asking anything, and that's how you'll end up learning. I often say that you guys have to have a rabbi in your life that you feel comfortable asking everything to, especially when you get married. Because then there are all kinds of questions in what's permissible or prohibited in the intimacy of the bedroom. A person has to be able to know. Don't walk around thinking, well, I never heard this, I never heard that way. Have clarity, you know you're living properly. So in all areas, a person has to be comfortable asking, and sometimes that's a reflection of the teacher. That's the next line in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah instructs the educator, don't be too rough with the students, because then they won't want to learn. They'll be scared to ask. So that's the educator's job. Our job is to ask. To ask, and even if we feel stupid, to ask again. There's nothing wrong with that.